Okay, we'll try to pack in what we could, what we can. I think what you learn today will be the most surprising, maybe the most complicated too, of the halachis that we are going to learn in Hilchos Safros Bechlal, and especially as it applies to the tefillin that we wear today. I think we assume that for the most part all our tefillin are the same, and you're going to learn today that on the inside, on the outsides, they're more or less the same. On the insides, there are many differences. Siman Ayin Reishay is the tzura. Oh, thank you. Is the tzura is parsha psucha stuma and tzura is hashira. We're not going to get to the shira today. We're going to learn about a parsha psucha and stuma. You all have seen in the Chumash a letter pei or a letter samach, which indicates that in the Sefer Torah there is a break in the writing of the Sefer. So that there's a parsha, as I'll say, Lite Rebach be parsha la parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he taught, left space between the parshiyah so people could concentrate and review. We're going to deal today with the surah, the way a psucha and a stuma look. Now, Sif Aleph deals with it in a generic way. You can learn Sif Aleph without knowing what's a psucha and what's a stuma. You just know that they exist. And so Sif Aleph says, Parsha psucha shaso stuma, a stuma shaso psucha yigonez. That these things, even by Sefer Torah, certainly by Tefillin of Mezuzos, are ma'akif. That's what it seems. We'll talk about Tefillin of Mezuzos, but the Shulchan Aruch says that the psucha stuma, you got to get it right. You have to get it right. I believe that the Rambam, who wrote, the Rambam is the earliest source. He goes through the entire Sefer Torah and says which parasha is psucha, which parasha is stuma in the Rambam, in Hilchos Sefer Torah. Later, when the Sefer Torah of Ben Asher was found, what the Syrians say is the Ketar Ram Tzova, the Rambam went through it and he made a personal yamtif. He was not yamtif every year for the rest of his life, because everything he had written stimmed, it fit perfectly with the Sefer Torah Ben Asher. You can see that it was on his mind that he got it right, to the degree that he made a yamtif la'atzmai after he saw that it stimmed with the Ben Asher. And that's how we do it. We do it based on the Rambam, the Parshas Psuchais and the Parshas Tumis and the Sefer Torah. As far as I know, we're consistent. All our Sefer Torah and Psuchais and Stumais. The Ramah says, the Mechaber said to be Gaines, Ramah says, Yeshayimim de Mutal Nasaknoi Kamashar to Uyais. Some say that you can fix it. Now, obviously, you can fix it. But if you have consistent problems of psuchas and stumbais, the Sefer Torah ends up being a menumer, being a Sefer Torah that's all patched up, all over the place, because in order to fix it, you have to erase large segments and write it either more stretched or more compressed in order to change the psuchas and stumbais. That's why the Mechaber said to be Gainis. Ramah says, "Chenogo asay from the saknoi im ef shaloi limchay shaloi yifka b'shem." If you can erase without erasing God's name, ki ein loy lachtoich Hashem v'laseis nekavim b'yiria. In order to fix it, we don't cut out Hashem and make holes in the yiria.
When is it going? We find a lot of people from the positive service keep the norm of kodesh. So when is it going to be gone? When is coming down as you're gone? So you see the says again, norm of kodesh.
Yeah, keeping Apostle Sefer Torah in Orin is really only a temporary thing until it's buried. There's a shaila in the place, can we be allowed to keep Apostle Sefer Torah because it doesn't have the kedusha of a full Sefer Torah. So since it's a minig, we assume that it's kilu hisnu. It's like we made it tonight.
But
it's not worse. It's chumish also, the same shaila. If you like, keep anything else in an Orin Kaidish. Well, if you're going to learn from a Sefer Torah, you do it. Gemara says that Ayishka be'alecha avla, ze hamasha Sefer Torah psula for 30 days, Gemara says it's an avla. I think in Chesam and Aleph in Ksubis and Yeshiva Shablahat. So we should know it.
But
if it has a real toss, if the letters are popping, that's not the avla. I should know avla. The person may make a mistake based on it. If the letters are just popping or cut, you're not going to make mistakes. But yeah, okay. It should be buried. It's not so simple to bury. You have to bury with a Talmud Chacham. And by Rav Palm, we buried a Sefer Torah with Rav Palm. Rav Palm was buried. We had a small Aron that at his feet was stood up next to him, and he was buried with a Sefer Torah. But it's not so common. It's the only time I ever saw it with my eyes that they buried a Sefer Torah with Talmud Chacham. And Halacha says to bury it in the Kli Cheres. We know you need to wrap it in plastic. The plastic preserves it the best. Plastic that's not biodegradable stays whole and it preserves it the best.
Even though people we want to
disintegrate. Right. Now, there's really a lot to talk about here about peripheral shilas. In other words, shila, what happens if you did neither psucha nor stuma, or you have a space where it doesn't belong? So these are shilas that I'm going to get to. I just would like to go through the basic machloikis, what's a parsha stuma, what's a parsha psucha, and I don't want to get cut off in middle. So we're going to come back to Sif Aleph. You see a lot of Pesachei Tshuva, so we're going to come back to it next week. Just turn the page and take the pieces of paper you have in front of you, and let's learn what a psucha and a stuma is. As is common in Torah Sheva'al Peh, we have a machlokes Rishonim, the Rosh from the Rambam. And the Shulchan Aruch starts by saying, B'tzura stumi yesh machlokes ben Rambam v'Rosh. Now what do? You're going to have two Sifrei Torah laid every week, one from a Rambam Sefer Torah, one from a Rosh Sefer Torah. So the Mechaber says, Yirei Shemayim Yaitzi Yedei Kulam V'yasa B'inyin Sheparsha Psucha Yisayim B'parsha Shalofnea, etc. So for to understand this, you have to look at my excellent handout, which describes it perfectly. If you look at it slowly, you see by Psucha I have 1-2, and by Stuma I have 1-2. Now, one is the same, like the Rosh and the Rambam, in both Psucha and Stuma. What we do in our Sifrei Torah is wherever there's a pay, we do the Rambam's and the Rosh's agreement, that is Psucha, and wherever it's a Stuma, we do the case that they're in agreement as well. So we're going to discuss it. Now, how many spaces, how many letter spaces is a hefsik? So generally we say 9 letters. Why 9? If we have a chance, I'll talk to you about the lumdis. But it says gimel pamim asher. The chatchila we do 9 letters, full letters, not a yud or a vav, like an aleph, a shin, and a resh. 9 full letter, that amount of space is what we do. In the rush, the rush of stuma, the Torah says it's 3 letters, not 9. The Prisha is Matzmiya Minayaloi. How did he know that? Well, his father was the Rosh. He could have heard it from his father. So we're not exactly sure. The issue, again, is something which, if we have time, we'll discuss. The number of letters, I'd like to get to it. But first, let's get the technical stuff right. All right, look at number one, a Parsha Psucha. The way we have it is number one. The way we remember it, Psucha means it's to open at the end of the line. It's easy to remember. And the way we have stuma, we have number one by stuma, which means it's closed at the end of the line. So for us, it's very easy. You look at a Sefer Torah. Is it open at the end of the line? That's psucha. Is it closed at the end of the line? That's stuma. That's an easy halacha lemaisa to remember.
If you don't have 9 at the end, it's still called psucha.
No, you have to have 9 to be called psucha. Now that's where the issue comes up. So the issue comes up, if you look by psucha, number 2, we have less than 9 left at the end of the line. What do you do? So here you have a machlokes the Rambam and the Rosh. Everyone holds it's no good. You need 9 letters. So what's the Eitzah? The Rosh holds the Eitzah is to leave 9 on the next line. So you see number 2? You have less than 9. So the next line, you leave the nine.
A full nine.
The beginning of it. Like the Rambam, you have to leave a full line empty. You never saw that in the Sefer Torah. A full line, skip a line to create the psucha, and then you start on the next line. That's the Shita Sarambam. Good. Well, you're looking at cheating, you're looking ahead. Stuma number two is when you have less than nine at the end. See, it's the reverse. The Rush says leave a blank line. Now, leaving a blank line, like the Rambam is a psucha, like the Rush is a stuma. Like the Rambam, you leave nine the beginning of the next line, which again is the reverse. Like the Rush, that's a psucha, and like the Rambam, that's a stuma. So that number two in both of them, besides the three and the nine, but as far as the tzura, they reverse. Enough to get a man confused. Right? Very confusing. So let me tell you, the Bach explains the lumdis. Very geschmack of lumdis. Which parsha do we call the parsha psucha? The previous one, the one that ends psucha, or the one that begins psucha? The name, parsha zu psucha. Which parsha is psucha? Psucha means where it ends or where it starts?
It's probably where it starts.
Okay, 1 minute. The Rambam says, good. The Rambam says, it's clear, the Bas says, the Rambam held, the following parsha is the parsha that's called psucha stuma. Go ahead, tell everyone Yisrael. The Rai is from Rashi.
Rai says,
Lama parsha zu stuma. Because Yaakov's Petira began the Torah Seim Shal Yisrael at the end of Vayigash, the beginning of Vayechi. So Rashi says Parsha Zu Stuma. Which Parsha Stuma? Vayigash or Vayechi? It talks about the Petira of Yaakov and Ishvatim. So Parsha Zu Stuma, the Rambam is very clear. He owes the following Parsha Stuma. And that's clear because I told you the Rambam has a list of Psuchas and Stumais. In his list, he refers to the name of the Parsha as the following Parsha is the Psucha Istuma. And therefore, according to the Rambam, we look at how it begins. Any line, any Parsha that begins at the beginning of a line is Psucha. See, the Rambam, both of them begin at the beginning of a line. That's called the Parsha Psucha. It starts at the beginning of a line. Stuma starts in the middle of a line. That's how the Rambam looks at the new Parsha. The new parsha begins at the beginning of a line, that's psucha. Because beforehand it was psucha, so it begins at the beginning of a line. And stuma is where it starts in the middle of a line. That's the lumdis, like the Rambam. Like the Rosh, the Bas says the previous parsha is the one that gets a shem psucha stuma. So in order to fit it in, it needs a little bit of hesber, which I think is going to be confusing. But this is the way the Bach says. I'm not talking about some later Achrim. The Bach is saying, they're arguing what the name Psucha Stuma fit to. So this is the dispute between them. Again, we do it easy. The line ends open, it's Psucha. The line is sealed on both sides, that's Stuma. That's the way we have it. And now, why nine letters? Why nine letters? So the suggestion has been made, the reason it's nine letters is very geschmack, is for the following reason. If you're reading a line in a handwritten Sefer Torah, anything handwritten, a Megillah, and you see blank space, so how do you know why there's blank space? Maybe the cipher was up to a word and it didn't fit. At the end of the line, you have five letters. So how do you know if that's a psucha? Maybe the next word didn't fit. You're not supposed to stick. You can stick, we set up to two letters into the column. So maybe you had a long word, it just didn't fit. So you went to the next line. So how do you know for sure?
Look at the next word.
So, not everyone's so smart. Everyone has Mendy sitting on his left. So the longest word in the Torah is L'mishpachay Seichem, which is 10 letters. 10 letters, you're allowed to stick two into the Gilead. And after the previous letter, you have to leave one letter space. If you have nine, let's say you would have a space, not of nine, of eight. So eight is no raya. Maybe the reason they went to the next line, eight, so you have to leave one line blank. You're left with seven. A ten-letter word, seven, three would stick into the column. So maybe he went to the next line because it didn't fit. The hefsik, by definition, is not mechiyach. Once you have nine, it's mechiyach. Because even if you had a ten-letter word coming, if you have nine, you skip one for space. You have eight and two into the gillion. You're allowed to have up to two into the gillion. So memela, if you have a nine-letter space, that's a space that's muchach by definition, that it's a hefsik. So that's the reason that you have a hefsik, and that's why the Rosh is maida at the end of a line, it's nine. The Torah said that the Rosh disagreed by a stuma if it's three. But by a psucha, he agreed. By a stuma, which if you look at stuma number one, it continues. So even a three-letter space is muchach, that it's meant intentionally as a space. Mashay came to Rosh is number two. It's not muchach, so you have to leave a whole blank line. So this is a biur in why it's done this way. So in a few minutes, you're going to turn your paper upside down. We're going to have a bechin. Everyone's going to have to rewrite what's a psucha and what's a stum. It's for some reason we're not into safaris, and it's a very, very confusing issue.
Fellow's reading doesn't understand what he's reading, whether
he pause
or not while he's reading it.
Fellow's reading knows to pause by
right. So he knows if it's ending or not, no matter what the word is.
I'm talking about reading, talking about writing now. The one who writes it. Okay. So this is what we do. We do like both shittas. Now, before I go further, let's read the Mechaber in Siv Beis and try to see it inside. Bitsuras psucha, bitsuras stuma. Yesh machloikis ben Rambam v'Rosh. Yirei Shemayim yoytze es kulam. Yirei Shemayim, that's all of us. Just be yoytze everyone. The yaseh binyan shebapasha psucha. Psucha, that's the top one. Yisayim pasha sholofneh be'em sashita. V'yishtayir b'sayfa cholok. Today, tishayis yoyis. V'yaseh lichtay v'rashita shetachteha. That's the way we do it. Psucha is open at the end.
That means the whole line, not just nine.
Yeah, the line.
Whatever's left in the line, whatever remains in the line, a minimum of nine. Ubeparsha stuma, tamid yisayim parsha of now betchilas hashita. Now by stuma, you have to finish the previous parsha in the first part of the line. V'yaniach cholah k'day tisha oisyais, and then leave a space of nine. Then yasvalichtei b'sayf oisay shita atzma, which is stuma number one, which is the way we do it. We do nine, not three, because we want to be yetzer kol hashitas. V'lo yishana lasi sura acheres lo yivlepsucha v'lo yistuma. U'ba'ach yav akasha bein lo Rambam bein lo Rosh. So the Mechaber doesn't confuse us with number two. He just gives us the two number ones. He tells us the right way to do it. The right way to do it. If you want to be confused, you look in the Shach Hey, who goes through what I wrote down. Now Shach Dalet, Shach Dalet, Tes Ais Yais, Gimel Pa'amim Osher, can't cause of a Rambam. Three times, those nine large letters, can't cause of a Rambam, because of Beis Yosef, Epshel Loi Pasul, Kishishia Pachas Me Asher Asher Asher, Vekamak and Yia Kishir Tes Oisias Kitanis. But the Eved, maybe, the Beis Yosef Epshel, it's Kashu with Epshel Oisias Kitanis, Abba Kishayim by Tes Oisias, Afilu Kitanis, Epshel the Pasul Nami Abba. The chol bots is shir mitesh aisis kiblu dolay have a shir akal shayne umiyu yesh pais misagi be reva kiblu aisis vayin drisha. The also pais go out three is good enough. Look in the drisha. What am I saying? Bidyevin. Apparently even from
psukim. Would only that yuriya be puzzle? Only
that yuriya. Yeah. You want the whole sefer Torah puzzle until you replace the yuriya.
The kol to mechaba by stuma. You don't do stuff next time. And no.
Because you have no eight, sir.
Right,
if you need a stuma and you get to the end of a line, you're in trouble. Because there's nothing you can do. You leave it wide open, you can get to the machlokes, the Rosh and the Rambam. That's what he says. Now, the Ramah says, interestingly, if you have no Eitzah, that what means you have no Eitzah, you could always be Gainus. But if you have no Eitzah, do like the Rambam, ki olav samcho achrayim. The kasvu shadvar of hein ikr. The ikr is like the Rambam, which we'll have to come back to soon. Umakavak ibn mitzvah sefer Torah she'en eksuv lefid varav ein lepaisla ki yesh gedoylim she'esham svaras acheres bizeh. Interesting, Ramah. He says, as long as you have something, if it's different, since they're chalufei minhagim, so for a sefer Torah, machshu with any one of the minhagim, even if you don't know which minig it is, stama wa machshu. So Shalom Yisrael, we do it in a way that's good like the Rosh and good like the Rambam. Everyone likes that. You make peace. You make everybody, either everyone happy or everyone unhappy, but that's what it is. Here is where the extraordinary tumult comes up, and it's really, I would say, even disturbing to a certain degree. And that has to do with mezuzahs and tefillin. Mezuzahs and tefillin, the way that they're written. What's the issue? We'll talk about a mezuzah first. A mezuzah is Shema and Vayim Shemaya. Now, in the Sefer Torah, Vayim Shemaya is Stuma. But Shema and Vayim Shemaya are not really next to each other. Not really next to each other. Shema is Psucha and Vayim Shemaya is Stuma in the Sefer Torah, in the Chumash. So we paskin that the space between Shema and Vayim Shemaya, we make Vayim Shemaya Setuma. I'll explain to you how we do it in a minute. If any of you still have the photostats of the mezuzah I gave out a few weeks ago, you can take a glance and rely on Aaron. What we do is we leave at the end of the first line a space. And Vayim Shemaya, we start in the center of the next line. Okay, that's what we do. Not in the center. We leave a space. So we finish Uvisharecha with a space. We leave it open at the end and open at the beginning. And that's the way we do it. According to the Rambam, that's a stuma, especially if you have less than nine at the end. And then the beginning, we have a minute to do it against the Shakai. The Shakai is in the back of the space. That's the way we do it. Now, question is, why don't we do the same thing we do in a Sefer Torah? Vayim Shemaya Stuma. So why don't we do the same thing? Leave Shema Uvisharecha at the beginning of a line, a space, and Vayim Shemaya middle of a line. Why not? What?
It's only three letters.
At the end.
At the beginning, too.
And the one we have here, it's short on both ends. It's true, and we do it that way. And it's not nine letters. Okay, I have to see if I can remember why. Give me a minute. The shach is in Resh Pei Vav, Sivkat Niyah. The shach says we have a minig tikva we call tikkun seifrim. The Vayim Shemaya begins at the beginning of a line. And because we have such a minig, we would always want to start Vayim Shemaya middle of a line, and that's why we do it this way. Sorry, not Resh Pei Vav. Resh Pei Ches Yud. He says, "Eini yachalasi sebezuz, eini yachalasi stuma." You can't write it stuma according to everybody. Because the seventh line is the tikkun seifrim is to start it at that point. So memela we do it that way. Now the nigrus maisha, Ramesha has an arichas on everything. He has a long arichas on parsha psuch and stuma and the lomdis and tudinim. I can go through the whole thing. It's tshuva kufpei. The Shail asked, why are we worried about Tikkun Seifrim? Since when does Tikkun Seifrim have a place in Halacha? Tikkun Seifrim is a Minig HaSeifrim. We have Machlokes, the Rosh and the Rambam, making Kosher L'Kulei Alma. Why are we so concerned with the Minig HaSeifrim to start Vayim Shemaya in the seventh line? Not Dover HaMahakim, according to anybody. So Ramesha writes that the reason is, because here it's also not a Dover HaMahakim, since Shema Vayim Shemaya are not next to each other in a Sefer Torah, so the way you do it here is not, it's kosher l'kuli alma, however you do it. It's a question of the chatchila, and that's why we do it this way. That's how Ramesh explains. So this is the way we do a mezuzah. I think all mezuzahs are done this way. I don't think the chalukim in Hagim, you never know, someplace in Kal Yisrael. But that's what we do. We do a stuma like the Rambam, which is one line ends with less than nine. The next, it's a kash of why the next line doesn't have nine letters. I'm not sure what the answer is. But Akoponim, this is the this is our minik.
So again, which is
Shema Yisrael? What? Shema Yisrael. Right. The name goes on the next parasha. The Rambam
right,
said.
So how do you
think
Shema
Yisrael?
Should have stopped in the middle.
No, Psucha starts at the beginning. Right? Every Psucha, the line before, is open, and every parasha Psucha starts at the beginning of a line. Shema starts at the beginning of a line. It's a parasha Psucha. Every Psucha, look at your paper. Psucha starts at the beginning of a line, right? The Rambam, Psucha begins in the beginning of a line. The line before it is empty. So Psucha begins at the beginning of a line. So Shema is the beginning of a line. Bereshit Psucha, you don't have to write that, but it is. Bereshit Fela Shmais, yeah. According to the Rosh, it's Psucha and Achinami. So we do like the Rambam. We do the Ikers like the Rambam, like it said. And that's Rabbi Shah's writing. Why do we go into the Machlaikas? Because it's not really a Davar Mak, it's just the Parshas on that next to each other. Now, the big tumul in Klal Yisrael has to do with tefillin. There are Ad Hayayim among us four different ways the Shel Yad is written, and they all have to do with the fourth parasha. The first three parashas, Kadesh, Vayakaviyacha, Kadesh Vayakaviyacha are next to each other in the Sefer Torah, and Shema are all psuchas. In other words, they all begin in the beginning of a line, and that is no chilufim in Hagim, there's no chilufim. The whole tumul by Yidden has to do with Vahayam Shemaya. How to go from Shema to Vahayam Shemaya by tefillin. And here, I don't know how to express it, it's like it's a mess. There's no clear consensus in Klal Yisrael how to do it. So I'm going to go through in the order of the way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah, the four shitas. The four shitas of the Mechaber, the Ramah, the Minig of the Taz, the Gra, and the Aruch HaShulchan Paskins that way, and Minig Chabad. I mean, Chabad, which has its own shita.
Shal Yad, right?
What? Shal Yad, yeah. Because the Shal Yad of Avichas, I'll talk about the Shal Rosh. Shal Rosh, they're cut into separate pieces, so it doesn't really matter. So, Lamaisa, we start in the middle of a line, but whatever you do is good, since it stands by itself. It's a. What? Why is it a mezuzah? That's a good question. Okay, let me go through the four shitas.
Each parsha doesn't have its own kalav,
it has its own kalav, it's a one cloth.
So then you're always starting at the beginning of the month.
Okay, let's see what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Mechaber shita, shita number one. Yaseh kol ha-parshis psuchais. Lamed beis lamed vav. I'm reading Arachayim now, I'm sorry. The Mechaber says, the simplest thing, yes, the kol parshia is psuchais. The first four should be psucha, like it is in the Sefer Torah. Chutz v'parshach reinach suva b'tayra shivayim shemaya, you said a stuma. V'mshin apostle. The Mechaber sounds very simple. And as he says, the first three are psucha, the fourth is stuma. And the Mechaber says, l'chei nagu sheparshas kadesh v'yikaviyach v'shema maschilim b'raish hashita. Ubisayf Kaddishli, Ubisayf Aikaviyacha, Menichem Cholak de Lichta Tesaisiais, Ubisayf Shema I Menichem Cholak, Shema ends at the end of a line, Vemenichem Upasal Mede Lichta Tesaisiais, the way it is in the Torah, Uparsha Shavayim Shemayim Eschilim Be'emsa Shita Al Yayna. Yefneh Cholok Deluchtiv Tes Isis. So it comes out everything is Gishmak. Okay, Shema ends at the end. Vayim Shemayim starts 9 in. Shalom Yisrael. It's done the way it's in the Sefer Torah. That's the minig, the way the Mechaba brings it. Good. Ramah. V'yesh machmirin kulam psuchais. V'yesh machshirin bekulam psuchais. Ubebedines elu noyagin. Av parashis v'yishmaya b'roish hashita k'sha parashis. Ramah says the minig b'nei Ashkenaz is all four parashis are at the beginning of a line. All four start at the beginning of a line. And that's the minig of Bnei Ashkenaz. So already we have two minhagim. The Mechaber says Vayim Shemayim starts in the middle of a line. The Ramah says it starts in the middle of a line. Why? Why? Zok to Ramah v'tamam av shebetoyre Vayim Shemayim istuma v'komakai ki v'shebetoyre inesmuchel parsha Shema ein zedek shav shinoi. It's not actually Shema anyway. Ain't that Nesha Shinim Asher Rabak Shabbino Lepash Shema who pursue Avolay Sosum? It doesn't really matter. Kamash Sosum Rashof Ne Abatayra Kim Shigam Batayra Yesh Bino Lepash Shema Rabak Harbe Chenis Kimu Achrayim. So Ramah says, and Ramah doesn't give a compelling argument. Ramah, the way Mishnah Berurah explains, says, Marash, it could be in the beginning. He doesn't say, it's got to be in the beginning. He says, Achein Nagu. So why are we makbid to do this way? So the Mishnah Berurah says, now the Mishnah Berurah, after lechatchila mitzvah lases oisai stuma, gam la yesh matshirin, Ramaz Maida, you should better do like the Mechaber. You should better do not like the Ramah. If ked amig is zehu shalai kaigin, and so our minig is wrong, mekabak emetike Ramah, That's so satisfying. Why do we do it this way? It's not the best way to do it. So the Mishnah Berurah says, better do it the Mechaber's way, not our way. So our way is that all four parashas start in the beginning, and the Svardim do the fourth parasha indented, and we really would be better off doing like the Mechaber. That's what it says in Mishnah Berurah. So already, it's an unhappy situation that we have, so to speak, ours, which is not such a good thing.
Well, when the Ramah says Mechaynagu, that's the least compelling language of following the halacha. Mechaynagu means it's just done.
The Ramah writes in a letter that when he says Yesh Linog Yesh Aymer Mislechat Chila, he writes Nagu, it means Hanach Lahem. Pam used to quote it, people have a meeting not to get married at the end of a month. Mishnah Berurah says Nagu, not to get married at the end of a month. So Bala Flah writes that Nagu means that really should be Osir Asleisaynenu. The Isra type of Kishuf, my name is says Manzu is good Mazel, Zan is a bad Mazel. Really should be an Isra. So Nagu means that Hanach Lahem. People don't want to get married at the end of the month. It's not an Aveira. But it's not really a Kpeda. I get married at the end of the month. So Nagu means Hanach Lahem, and Nayagim means Lachatchel. Yeshlinag means Lachatchel. Here he says Nayagim, somewhere in between. It sounds like it's a bit of a lot. We're not done yet. We're not done. There are two Moshit. There's the Taz and the Gra, the Chuvas of some Sefer, and the Mashvois Rabbi Kiva Eger in the second volume of Chuvas Sefer Siminei had a third minig. And Darach HaShulchan here in Lamed Bey Samach Gimel says Kei Nagu Raiv G'day LeYisrael. The third way, by Ashkenazim, obviously. His minig is to leave less than 9 letters open at the end of the line of Shema, and less than 9 letters open at the beginning of the next line.
Which is the way the mezuzahs are done.
Which is the way we see our mezuzahs are done. Again, the lumdis doesn't fit with what I gave you out on the piece of paper, but he brings that this is a minig that sort of straddles the two shitas of psucha v'stuma the way our mezuzahs are done. Well, the rules are lachash v'sidai. The argument is achrayim who argue about how to apply lachash v'sidai. Yeah, but psucha v'stuma is halach. So this is a third minig. A fourth minig is minig chabad, which is to leave 9 letters at the end and 9 letters at the beginning. The tefillin of chabad are 9 at the end and 9 at the beginning, which doesn't seem to fit any of the tzuris that we have. The Ramesha has a tshuva, Nigris Maisha, in the last chelik arachayim tshuva tes, and he writes that he doesn't understand why Chabad does this. In Shulchan Aruch Harav, it doesn't say this way. And he quotes that they say Yadua, that's how the Baal HaTanya wrote his tefillin. And Rav Moshe says, how's the Shasa Yadua? If you wrote Halacha Sefer, and he paskin differently. But however, in Lubavitch it is that way, that there are things, there are stirus things in the siddur of the Baal HaTanya and the Shulchan Aruch, because certain things he paskin a certain way, and for whatever reason as minik chabad was mishana. So Ramosha is mefakfake. He says someone who needs tefillin shouldn't borrow chabad tefillin, because they, since they have their own shita, it's a different shita. If you don't hold it a shita, it could be a dover that's ma'akiv.
Is there any way of telling unless you borrow from a chabad person?
A chabad person, yeah. Okay. So sukzavari, sukzavari. You could see on the shin of the shorosh, etc. So they are different in Hagim. Ashkenazim could definitely borrow Sephardic tefillin because that's better. Sephardim should not borrow from Ashkenazim because the Ramah's minig, according to the Mechaber, is wrong. It's very upsetting. You know, you think at least, you know, tefillin, Klal Yisrael is all the same. It's bad enough. We have two different Ksharim in the back, and we have Tzavari, Tzavis Yaisid. And now we have four different types of tefillin. Arayim, we have four different ways that tefillin are written.
So what is the stamza you're buying?
I think we do like the Minhag HaRamah. You could Google it. I think we do like Minhag HaRamah, and we have all four parashas in the beginning. And those are mahadir to do like that. You go to a cipher, you want it, the fourth one, I don't know what you're talking about, if you want the fourth one, like the Mechaber. But these are the four minhagim. So like I said at the outset, I wanted to go through this first, because I knew we were going to run out of time. Unfortunately, I have a levaya to go to, so I'm going to cut early. Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll pick up back again on Sifal. Save these little pieces of paper; they may be useful again next week. Yes, you'll collect. Amen. I hope to. Do me a favor, collect.